Right, good morning, everyone. A reminder for everyone to silence their mobile devices, please. Good morning. Today is June 17th, 2025. There's a quorum present. It is 10:01 a.m. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Bringing us to item number two on today's agenda, which is to convene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number three, which is the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. On to item number four, this is public comment. Public comment is welcome to the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment is again welcomed after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. As a reminder, public comment is limited to 3 minutes per individual. With that said, is there any public comment in the room today regarding anything that is not on today's agenda?
I assume you got it from up here.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Michael Brandon. There's an issue with speed in town, and especially on C Street, and the county handles all the side streets. And there's a lot of traffic from, this is regarding crosswalks. There's a lot of traffic coming up from the RV park, the hotels, and their ability to cross the street is encumbered a little bit by the distance between crosswalks. So I'm suggesting more crosswalks, both on side streets off of C Street, which belong to the county, and C Street itself. And this would do a couple of things. It would enable the people from these heavy traffic areas to get across the street easier without having the crowded boardwalks or whatever, or if they want to switch sides. And the presence of more crosswalks would hopefully slow the flow of traffic in the streets and make it a little bit safer. A lot of these areas where there's no crosswalks have zero view plan, which is a very serious issue. Zero view plane, if you know, there's a corner, and as you walk up to it, the street is right there, and there's no view plane. So it would alleviate possible accidents and injury, and it would also help slow down the traffic just because of the presence of the crosswalks. And believe me, there's a lot of places they should be required and should be in place just for safety issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment in the room today? Not seeing any. Moving right along to item number five, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for the June 17th, 2025 meeting. County Manager Osborne, do we have any changes to today's agenda?
We would like to make two.
Yeah.
We would like to move number 24 and 25 to number 12. That'll allow the applicants who are here for number 24, that is for the Silver Lament, for the extreme element, number 25 slots for a variance. For them to be able to be heard over there.
And that's after item number 12?
It would be past number 12, item after 11.
24 and 25?
Correct.
Jared? Thank you. All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about today's agenda?
I do not.
It may be locked.
Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions or comments.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the items on today's agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I move to approve today's agenda with the noted changes.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. On to item number six, a discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the May 6, 2025 meeting. Hey, gentlemen, do you mind just keeping the noise down a bit, please? Thank you. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the May 6, 2025 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I do not.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding the minutes from May 6, 2025? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I move to approve the minutes from our May 6, 2025 meeting as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. On to item number seven, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the May 13th, 2025 special meeting. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments about those minutes?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the May 13th special meeting minutes? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our May 13th, 2025 meeting as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. On to item number eight, which is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments about today's consent agenda?
So out of abundance of caution, I'm not going to vote on this item as there is things in this that affect the Tahoe Reno Industrial Summit partnership.
All right. Noted. Thank you, sir. Vice Chairman, do you have any questions or comments?
I don't.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
All right. There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. On to item number nine. This is discussion only. No action. No public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. And we're going to kick things off with the sheriff's office.
Good morning, everyone. Nothing from the sheriff's office today. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Moving right along to the Fire Protection District.
Commissioners, Chairman Alcar for the record. Just two real quick updates. We did promote three additional people to the position of captain. They will be stationed out at 74 in Lockwood. Now that they vacated their positions, we'll be testing the 28th and 29th. So I'm happy to say we're approaching around the 70 people that have applied for that position. So thank you also to the high school, which will be allowing us to use their facility to conduct that testing. So after that's done, I'm hoping to have Lockwood staff to three-person staffing comes to the first part of September. And the last update I have is we're currently out to RFQ on Station 75. So as we start to receive those packets, hopefully we can get somebody selected and move forward on the Station 75 TI. And that's all I have now, and I'll answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you for that, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Chief?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good, thanks.
All right. Thank you again, Chief. Moving right along to Public Works.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Worsbecky for the record. Just a quick update. The road project is going to be getting kicked off starting on Monday, this coming Monday. Traffic will be limited on B Street, but everything will still be accessible. And then if it's okay, I'll go ahead and give the update for Mike Northen as well. He's down in Lockwood at taking care of some other things. He says Lockwood interior finishes and paint, exterior landscape and irrigation's in full swing. The traffic signal for electric in Milan is in contract development. The tri restroom remodel is bid date is moved to July 10th. And then the site work at 800 South C is fully complete and the new backup generator is fully operational. And that's all I have for today.
Thank you for that update, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman? All right. Moving right along to our business development director.
Sarah's giving our report.
All right.
All right, Sarah Stewart for the record. So our senators and congressmen accepted the request for fiscal year 2026 congressional direction spending in April of this year. And the county submitted 5 requests and of these 5, the senators selected 4 to submit to the appropriations committees. So these are the public safety complex project, the Piper's restoration project, the county courthouse earthquake retrofit project, and the Silver City water main replacement project. So now each appropriation subcommittee will review those requests and determine which to include in the subcommittee's appropriation bills. So this process typically takes several months and I'll keep you guys up.
Great news, Sarah. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No.
Vice Chairman?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again. How about our planning department?
Kathy is trying to, she's right there. So yeah. Do a little surprise her and she won't turn in.
Right on time. It's staff update time. All right. Thank you, Kathy. How about our admin officer? You did not?
I did not.
Okay. How about emergency management?
Morning, commissioners. I'm Wilson, director of emergency management for the record. A couple of quick updates. Our road safety barriers are in, so we will start seeing those getting deployed out at our special events. Our evacuation exercise last Saturday was largely successful. We had 48 participants show up at the evacuation resource center. So our next steps on that are going to be to meet internally and complete an after action review. And then we'll schedule another town hall for the residents out in the Highlands where we'll discuss what was learned from that exercise and what we'll be moving forward with. Next Friday on June 27th at 5:30, the Story County Emergency Management Department is getting recognized at the school district board meeting for the trainings and work that we've been doing in partnership with the school district. So very proud of the staff for that. Tomorrow night, we'll be assisting Carson City's Girl Scout troop with receiving their preparedness ribbons. So we're excited to assist them with their great exercises and steps they've made. And then just a reminder, Wednesday, July 9th at 10 a.m. is the next local emergency planning committee meeting out at the Tri-Center. And also it'll be available on Zoom and those agendas will be getting posted by tomorrow. And that is all I have.
Thank you for that update, Adam. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Adam?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good, thanks.
All right. How about the VCTC? You have Todd on there today?
Todd is on.
You get me, Leah Cruz.
Hey, Leah.
Hi. First and foremost, I'd like to ask that everybody please keep Todd in your thoughts after the recent passing of his father. So that's why he has not attended today. So, in terms of our updates, we had Street 5 Spring Rally came through on June 6th and 7th. And per usual, it's the lesser attended of the two, but there was still a decent showing in town with the bikes and whatnot. There's a lot going on with our nonprofits in town during June. So please keep an eye out on like St. Mary's Art Center and Fourth Ward Schools calendars for any events that are coming up that you'd like to attend and support them. Our next big event, obviously, is 4th of July. We have the parade at noon. We have the free concert and then fireworks. And if anybody is interested in participating in either the parade or by merchants want to put anything out on the street, just let us know ahead of time and we'll make sure that you're covered with barriers and all the things to keep you safe. And that's it for us.
Thank you, Leah. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Leah?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No.
All right. Thanks again, Leah. How about the comptroller's office?
Good morning, Jennifer McCain for the record. I just wanted to let everybody know that July 1st starts our new fiscal year. And as of last week, we have gotten final approval from taxation that all our budgets are good. So we're good to move forward.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. Easy one. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jim?
Because all their stuff's on the agenda.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. We'll save our questions then, Jennifer. Thank you.
Okay.
How about health and community services? Stacy on it?
I didn't see Stacy, no.
Okay. I know Drew's having trouble. Is James on there?
Good morning, commissioners. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
James Dean, Story County IT Director. Just a quick update on our 10 gigabit router deployment. Tim Shropshire is about two-thirds done installing that in all our core facilities. So when Churchill County Communications gets the fiber lit up, we'll be ready to go. That's all I have.
Great, James. Thank you for that. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for James?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No.
All right. I assume Brandy's not on there, right?
She's not seeing Brandy.
Okay. Comdev? We have Joe on there?
Anybody on
the contract? Joe, he's in training today.
Okay. How about our PR officer?
No report today, thank you.
All right. How about anything for us, Lee? Planning Commission related?
Thank you.
All right. Judge isn't here. How about our DA's office? Brian?
No update this morning.
All right. County manager's office.
You want to call over, you guys, or I can just do it from here. Just one thing, I'll let you know we are proceeding forward on our historic district conversations with the state post SB 78. So we'll keep you updated. Thank you. So.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Austin?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thanks.
All right. And how about our clerk treasurer's office?
Good today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Is there anybody in the audience or on Zoom that I did not call on that has an update? All right. Thank you, everybody, for those updates. Moving right along to item number 10 is board comment. I'll start to my far right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for us today?
No, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
I don't have any specific comments.
Okay. The only comment I have today is to recognize the passing of a VCH resident, Tom Terramina. If we can all just have a moment of silence for Tom, greatly appreciate it. All right, thank you. Moving right along to item number 11, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the acceptance of the renewal from the Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool for liability casualty insurance with the deductible options for fiscal year 25 through 26.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain for the record, and then I have Jared Osby here with LP Insurance, and Alan Cole is here with CoCap. If you have any questions for them. What has been presented to you is this year's renewal for FY26, and staff recommends that we stay with the $27,000 deductible for an annual cost with our agent commission of $25,000,
excuse me, I don't know what I'm thinking, for an annual cost of
$701,673.71.
And with that, we'll bring you to the decision.
Great.
Thank you. Is this the follow-up on, or just not the projected, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, sounds good. If you are on your iPad, I'm going to start with this page. It looks like a grid. It's roughly, I think, 38 or 39. As far as page number. So this is a review of your current coverages. So right now you have a maintenance deductible for both your liability and property of $25,000. As far as property coverage, you have a limit for loss of $300 million. And that includes supplements as well. I'll go through those real quick. For cash receivable, you have $5 million for loss. Arson reward, 10% of the $25,000. Debris removal for mold and asbestos, $100,000. For earthquake, you have $150 million total aggregate shared amongst the members of pool. For flood, same $150 million aggregate for the exception of flood zone A, which is $25 million. For equipment breakdown, $100 million per loss, with supplements of loss of income and extra expenses included. Hazardous substance coverage is $250,000. Spoilage coverage, $250,000. Data restoration, $100,000, and electrical risk improvements of $10,000. Expediting expenses of $25,000 at the policy level. Unintentional errors and omissions, $5 million. Money and securities, $500,000. Ordinance or law for a lead building, $500,000. And then agreed value for your vehicles that are on the schedule. That concludes the property portion. We'll move on to the next page, which is your liability coverage. You have a named insured limit and an annual aggregate limit of $10 million. These also include some sublimits. For additional insured, you have additional insured for lessors, $2 million. Weed spray property damage, $250,000 per claim, $250,000 aggregate. Emergency response to pollution, 1 million per claim, 1 million aggregate. Criminal defense fees and costs, 50,000 and 50,000 aggregate. And defense and regulatory agency actions, 50,000. You also have a sexual abuse sub limit of 2.5 million. That's per claim and aggregate. Moving to the next page, this is your cyber risk. This is the only change to the form, so I'll point this out real quick. The maintenance deductible, this was a pass-through deductible. There was no deductible before. However, if you are not currently in compliance with those requirements for cyber, the maintenance deductible can go to 10% of the loss up to $25,000. As far as the coverage form, part two, the third party liability remains the same at $1 million, any aggregate of $1 million up to $15 million for all pool members. Part three has changed. They've combined what used to be part two and part three together. So first party event management and network interruption coverage is now $250,000. Proof of loss preparation costs at $50,000. The final coverage form that we will review is the environmental pollution. For coverages A, B, and C, your deductible is $25,000. Each incident is $2 million with an aggregate of $10 million. So that's your third-party claims for bodily injury, property damage, or remediation, your first-party remediation expense, and the emergency response expense. Coverage D, business interruption is a time-based element. So your deductible is 3 days. Your business interruption limit is 365 days. And your limit, your monetary limit that you can recover in that 365 is $2 million. That concludes the review of the coverage form. Alan, do you want to talk a little bit about pool structure?
Sure. Well, good morning, everybody. For the record, my name is Alan Cult with the Backbone Chief Financial Officer. We're a member owned, member governed. And you guys control what we do, you know, and what we do, the services we provide, I call is we got your six. We work on risk management, HR services, cybersecurity, on-demand learning, health and wellness, law enforcement, and school safety. We're governed by an executive committee that's made up of cities, counties, school districts, special districts of different varying sizes. One of the focuses that we've had over the last 2 years is financial leadership. And I can't stress enough that the county fiscal officer president last year, the past president, who happens to be a Story County resident, who more importantly is your comptroller, has stepped up and done financial leadership to a level that rivals what was done several years ago in Boulder City. Boulder City now is financially secure, set. They have solar leases, and I work with them to get them set up appropriately. On your agendas over the last year, you've seen a lot of financial things that Jennifer has done. Setting up special revenue accounts, protecting the funds, property tax apportionment, looking at budgetary transfers. And I've also worked with Jim. And I want to share a little story that politely embarrass Jim a little bit for a second, if that's okay. I did ask him, he said that's fine.
Yeah.
So on Thursday, March 13th, Jim had attended one of my training classes. We were talking about investments and what's happening in the interest rate environment. And I said, hey, well, how much money you got in the bank? Logs on and tells me in 95 cents. You know, he gives me the exact number and change, right? And I said, well, you know, what are we getting on interest on that and how is it set up? And he says, you know, Alan, yes, you talked about in your class. Yeah, we need to work with Wells Fargo Investment Pool. I need to work with Wells Fargo, their bank, and those type of things. And yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to get that set up. And I said, really? I said, Jim, what are you doing right now? He said, well, I'm talking to you. We just went over a bunch of other things, but we were on the phone for an hour and a half. During that hour and a half, during that discussion, I said, well, why don't we just, let me Zoom you real quick. So we Zoom, we set up an email, and I start typing the email, and you know, it starts out, Stephanie, I was on a Zoom. Oh, he wanted me to send the email to Stephanie at Wells Fargo instead of him copying him. So I'm typing it out, making sure he agrees with it. And it says, I was on a Zoom call with Story County Treasurer Jim. We're looking at the revenue projections for the upcoming fiscal year 24-25, focusing on consolidated tax, property tax, and investment income. It was noted that they don't have a sweep account. And he goes, he wants to, and it's highlighted yellow, set up a sweep account immediately. Okay, as soon as possible. And the rest goes on, you know, and it, And it says, you know, to Stephanie at Wells Fargo, you're the expert, sweep accounts are able to get it set up quickly. So please make this happen for them as they need the additional revenue to support community operations and balance their budget. So Stephanie, we need you to go for it. Typing this out, I'm kind of slow, and Jim's watching. This is a good. He's well making this little edit here, so I make that little edit there. That's a good. And he goes, yeah. So then I move the cursor to the send. And I says, Jim, I know send it until you said send it. What you don't know is that I went to a long range shooting academy and I shot my elk at 700 some yards in there. And send it is what they say, right? You know, he said, send it. Send it. He goes, wow. That one's cool. What do you think is going to happen? Okay, it was sent at 4:16 p.m., which happens, and Stephanie is out of the Phoenix Scottsdale area, so it's 5:16. I says, she's going to call you first thing. Jim says, hey, man, he's, you know, got the email. Thank you so much for doing this, you know, making a difference. Next day, he emails me at like 9:07. Just got done talking to her. Yeah, that was the first phone call. Worked really hard to get it set up. $140,000 a month difference from April 4th to now. Because Jim said, send it. That's better than the office shot. It's a good shot in the arm for the taxpayer for services and those type of things. You know, and that's what Pool Pack does. I used to be Alan from Fallon. Well, I am Alan from Fallon. I was at my trainings. You know, comptroller over Churchill County. Jim and Jennifer have attended my trainings. Jennifer had me as a keynote speaker at CFOA in September in Winnemuck as president. And I've been working with Jennifer for years, both when I was at Churchill and since I've been at Pool Pack. You know, it's members helping members, you know, even when, you know, counties, we don't compete with each other. We cooperate. I've worked with Pat Whitman in the past, Austin, you know, set up some things here. But it's cool stuff. $1.6 million by tweaking and taking advantage of investments, okay, for the community because of their hard work and those type of things. You know, property tax apportionment, doing the rates, you know, greater than anticipated revenues with the item that was being sent to Chip. Jennifer, you know, asking, hey, do you mind looking this over, doing some edits? Well, absolutely. And on the last one, she said, well, what do you think? I said, wow, I couldn't have done anything better. I mean, that's role model. Can I share it with somebody else? She says, sure, that's what we do. And that's what Pool Pack members do. Okay, it's members helping members, taking the best ideas, things that I see happening in other places. You know, can they help Story County? Can they help out the rural counties? And we've made a huge impact with the membership on taking advantage. Now, as soon as the interest rates dip and they go low, we're going to be looking at, hey, is it time to refinance? You know, that's, you know, if we get a lower rate on a long-term borrow. So that's one of the things that the Pool Pack does that, you know, heck, maybe, you know, Geico folks don't do that, you know, within within insurance, no offense, Jerry. But, you know, you own us, 77% of every dollar you give to invest in the pool goes to support loss fund and insurance expenses. Okay. The next highest percentage of expense is 7.5% for member services to fund those things I talked about, the cyber, the law enforcement, the e-learning, the HR support, the risk management. Okay. The third party administrator, 3%. Your agent gets 7%. Our admin costs are 5%. Our investment earnings pay our costs. Just like Jim's investments are going to pay for a lot of great things here in Story County. So that's the power of the pool. You know, I like to talk about the budget, the blue Pac-Man. That's what goes to pay claims, okay? And if we don't have those claims, guess what? It goes to the ending balance, and that helps mitigate future increases. Your increase is kind of hard, because kind of high, because, you know, Jared's probably going to talk about this. You had payroll go up. You had private evaluations go up. Law enforcement go up. But the good news is that by October 1, your investment earning increase, or actually, if you go back to April 1, it'd probably be end of July, you will have earned enough to pay the claims. And that warms my heart because, you know, I'm able to help Jim, able to help Jennifer, or helping all our other members, and able to share Jennifer's model policy on the greater than anticipated revenues to other members. So a big shout out to those folks making the difference for Story County and the fact that, that maybe in some small way Pool Pack helped in that process make us proud of our members. So sorry, probably what you want me to say.
Thank you.
again, Jared Rossi with LP Insurance to finish this presentation. That one's a very tough act to follow. So the next page was the structure, and the page after was the original premium. We have gone out and obtained some options, which are at the back of the packet. But first, I'd like to cover what's changed. From a program cost, and same the $25,000 maintenance deductible, up from $588,000 in 2024 to $701,000 in 2025, to 19.3% increase. Your payroll increased from $13 million to $15.5 million, roughly, for an 18.92% increase. Total insured values increased from $97 million to almost $104 million, for almost a 7% increase. Your auto count went up from 159 to 188, an 18% increase. Law enforcement increased by three bodies, 41 to 44, for a 7.32% increase. And employees increased from 193 to 13 for a 10.3% increase. EMTs increased by one for a 7.69% increase. All in all, the program was renewed relatively flat as far as rate. So the increase in premium largely because of the exposure change, the increase in different areas. The last item I will reference is at the back of your packet. And it's got this fun color to it. I think it's around page 58 or 57. So this is a deductible study that we run. At the top box, those are the premiums at the different deductible levels. So for $5,000 deductible, $5,000 deductible, it's $812,920 to renew there. For $10,000, $775,340. For the $25,000, $701,963. Below that is a deductible study we run, and we take your best years, your average year, or your average, and then your worst year, and we apply the total losses from that year to your renewal premium. And that's what gives us these different scenarios on hopefully making a deductible choice a little bit easier. But and so the greens are your best option, red is your worst option, and yellow is pretty much right in the middle. Looking at this study, I'm looking at this at $25,000 is still probably the better option to remain on there. Unless you're planning on having a significant year in claims, then $5,000 will be your best option. Below that is your 10-year deductible study. That's just the raw data that I use to come up with those numbers paired with the premiums. Do you have any questions regarding the renewal coverage?
Gentlemen, any questions? Be good, Jared. Anything else?
That's all I have to share.
Awesome. Appreciate both your presentations. Thank you very much. Jennifer, did you have anything to add on this?
Not at this time.
Okay.
I gave you staff recommendation.
Okay, fair enough. So one more time, just to be official, Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman?
No.
Okay, how about public comment? Is there any? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. Just get all the way back to the item here. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the renewal from the Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool for liability and casualty insurance with a deductible of $25,000, not to exceed. Should I change that amount to? I believe the not to exceed amount in the motion is the one that goes with the 5,000. Or leave it the way it is.
Three options.
Because we have three options, but if you want to flip, this is the exact price.
Sure. Not to exceed $701,963.71.
And the deductible.
He said.
I already did. For the fiscal year 25-26.
Second. All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Jennifer.
And I want to officially thank Alan for embarrassing Jim.
Well, it's complimenting me very much, so I hope
you felt better. Thank you.
All right, moving right along to item number 24. This is discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of a road abandonment, file 2025-015.
a request by the applicant to abandon a portion of GH and Sutton Streets right-of-ways located between Mill and Sutton Street in Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. The right-of-way to be abandoned will be consolidated into the adjacent parcels of land owned by the applicant, and easements will be reserved for utilities. The right-of-ways are to be abandoned are adjacent to APN 001-154-03, 001-158-01, 001-192-01 in Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. Kathy?
Thank you. So, excuse me. As you mentioned, this isn't a request for an abandonment. It's for two portions of G Street and H Street and a small sliver of Sutton Street that is below the Silverland Hotel. We had a very in-depth discussion at our planning commission. It was heard at a meeting in May, at the beginning of May. The planning commission had a lot of different questions, and so we continued this to their June 5th meeting. At the June 5th meeting, we had a little bit more answers for them, and they have recommended approval with a vote of 6-1, recommending approval of that, of the proposed abandonment. So I have a couple of handouts here that we handed out to the planning commission just so that you can also have a copy of some of this, of the research that we were doing. These are the same maps I handed out at the planning commission, but if you'd like another copy. So one of the questions that had come up with the planning commission was there was a concern, and there are members from the public here that were also attended the planning commission meeting, was just the general use of what historic area has been used as. Because looking at our 1865 map, that is got nice, neat, straight lines and lots of little lots in between. That's what shows up as this area. But as we went back and looked at the different maps that we could find, that was historically never used as a little block subdivision of houses. This area had, from what we've been able to find, had always been used as associated with the mining activities that had happened for the Consolidated Virginia Mine. So just to kind of explain a little bit what we're looking at here. These were some maps that we found, this last one that's on here. They all show that everything behind here was used either for the mine or for the mine tailings. That's kind of the areas that we're showing. They were never showed that this area had another kind of use to it. Probably the easiest one to tell is this map, this is kind of the third map of the 811s. It shows the area that we're looking at right here. And it does show the mining. Here's the H&G streets. This was what they're calling Sutton. And the mine and everything had been used as one big piece. So one of the questions the planning commission had was the concern of consolidating into making one big block of land where Virginia City, for the most part, is pretty much made up of smaller lots. I think showing historically that this area had been used as this mine and had been used as one, even the area that showed as public right-of-way had been used by the mine, I think that alleviated some of the concerns that they had had. The applicant is also here today if you have any questions for her. Staff is recommending approval as these two roads really don't go through, have never historically gone through. As you can tell from the staff report, as you're on Mill Street, the level between Mill Street and where the streets would be is extremely, has a different topography, different elevation. The idea of punching a street through here is probably something we wouldn't ever anticipate doing. We don't have any utilities that go through this area. There are some electric lines that come to the site, and that is part of this record of survey that would be reported if the abandonment is approved. They would do some easements for NV Energy, but they're for on-site things. There was also a concern with water and sewer. We don't have any water or sewer lines that run through any of these areas. But if water and sewer is to serve any of this, the Public Works Department would like some looping around something that comes up. So we would work with the Public Works Department on where these lines should be and reserve some easements based on that layout. There's nothing in there today. It would just be for future use if the site was developed, how those utilities and stuff would be. There is one area at the bottom of H Street as it comes across from where the park is, at the lower end of the park. There is an access that comes in and then immediately goes to your left or goes to the east and then jogs down to I Street. We're proposing to keep that entrance there. The emergency response would like to keep that so they can get into there easily. The applicant doesn't have any problems with keeping that. We offered that either that area wouldn't be abandoned or if it was, there'd be a public access easement that would go across it. Either way works for what we wanted to do. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. The applicant's here and I do know there's some members of the public that may wish to speak.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, any questions before we get some public comment?
Yeah.
Vice Chairman?
No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Is there any public comment regarding this matter?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
And every ladies. So because this is up for the board and the planning commission, all that, there is apparently easements going across the ground in question. And my question is, why would the county want to abandon these easements, number one? That's a question that I have not really had answered. Number two, the exact square footage of the land in question, all that's going to be given up. I understand they're 60 feet wide and quite long, but I haven't gotten an exact number. And the county, in its position right now, may not have any idea that they want to develop or the needs that may come up in the future and other ideas that could be proposed for this property rather than just abandoning it, which is seems to be not a thing that would just normally be done, especially in the middle of the city. I'm understanding at present time that the amount of land that would be given up is well over an acre, and I think it's maybe closer to two. And how much money is this land worth, and how does the county plan to retrieve the loss, and if it's in taxes, at what rate, and how can they state to the public the reason for this loss? It's public property, public land, assigned easement, and it's been paid for and taxed by taxes and people doing that kind of stuff. So basically, and these maps don't really show it on there, but like was stated in the beginning, it is an easement, so therefore it is a valid entity. So I'm requesting that we have a delay and or a removal of this item from the agenda. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Did you
chair, for the recording?
I was going to say, did you state your name for the record, please?
Michael Brandon.
Thank you.
B-R-A-N-D-O-N, not D-I-N, not D-E-N.
Appreciate it.
Is there any other public comment?
Rob Sanders from Northwest Virginia City. I don't know anything about the legal aspects of this abandonment, but I want to give my personal opinion. And I was wondering, where are we going to read in future history books when we learn that today we give away three streets that have been in the history map and books all over the county and the state, showing these three streets for 150 years as part of the city? I'm not going to say anything about investors. They're here to make money for themselves, not to defend the history of the town. And I may say they're doing a very good job, more than an acre, say, of land, giving away for nothing. They're not going to pay a dime for this. What about the rest of us? I've been working for a... I'm going to apologize if I don't speak very clearly and know that sometimes it's hard to understand what I'm saying. Besides that, I'm very emotional.
No problem.
Of course, I really hurt to see the Virginia City that I love so much being given away just for the benefit of one investor when there's other things that they can do. They get a special use permit or even leave the property for a number of years. And at the end, the property will remain a public street for the county and for future generations of Virginia City residents and visitors to come. And I'm going to stop here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your comments.
One more thing. Whenever I do research for this question, I went to several county offices and I was treated with most respect, even though they knew I was going to talk against the office. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Good to hear that. All right. Is there any other public comment?
I have one more sentence.
I'm sorry, sir. Legal? Are we allowed to?
Second bite at the apple.
There's only one public comment per person.
All right. Sorry.
Just an extra sentence about precedent.
Thank you, sir. All right. Is there any other public comment? All right. Not seeing any. Kathy, is there anything you wanted to add?
I can add a couple, just some general information. It was actually probably about 5 or so years ago, we worked with Keith Loomis at the time, looking into the idea of, are we charging land or can we charge for any of this land that we're doing? There is a court case in Nevada. I'm not up to date on exactly which one it was, but it took place in Carson City, that found that the land, if the county abandons the land that was part of a plat, the subdivision map, that the land goes not to the county has the right of way for it, but if they give up their right of way, the land goes back to the adjacent property owners. It's not something that we can charge money for with any of that. And if anybody's interested, I'm sure we can find all that research that he did for that. So we're not able to charge for that. We're not able to sell pieces like this because of the way that we acquired it. There might be other land in Virginia City where if it's a parcel of land or something, that's a different situation than right of way is. In this case, if we abandon the right of way, there's not necessarily easement, but right of way, it gets absorbed into the adjacent property owner. In this case, the property owner owns both sides, so they'll decide how they put that line in. Typically, if it was two different property owners, it would go right down the middle and each would get half. So I don't know if there's any other questions. And then when I did do some just kind of general number crunching, this is not exact, this is not surveyed, but it looked like each of the street, the G Street and the H Street, are each about 28,000 square feet. And the bit of Sutton Street is 800 square feet because it's only 8 feet wide by approximately 100. So we are getting a little bit, about an acre, a little over an acre, 57,000. So and that will be absorbed into the other pieces that are already there that are owned by the applicants.
Kathy, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, if you don't mind. So you mentioned earlier in your statement that how the county acquired that land. So I'll make the correlation to my HOA. I understand it's private, not government. But So in, on my street, my parcel was given up for the road easement. Is that pretty much how things have gone down as far as Virginia City? These are all private property parcels, and the county was given the right of way to develop. Is that how this came to be?
It was 1865. I'm not sure how those rules and stuff went, but like the Highlands using that as the underlying property owner owned all of it, and they dedicated out pieces to the county. If we were to abandon those, they would go to that property owner because the county didn't own the underlying land to begin with. That's the concept.
Correct. So thank you for that. The other question I have is, how many of these have we done to date? I don't believe this is the first road abandonment.
No, I would say we probably do maybe one a year, maybe one every 2 years.
Okay.
I have in the planning office, we do get a lot of requests for them. Mm-hmm. By the time we actually sit down with people and kind of go over what the project is, what their ideas are, why, you know, there has to be some rationale that we're looking at. We can't leave anybody else landlocked. Mm-hmm. If it's a piece that's adjacent to other people, typically you have to have everybody on board with something. You know, we kind of look at it, does it make sense? Do we have utilities and things that go through there? Do people use that as access today? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different things. Typically, I would probably say we get one of these a month where somebody's got an idea to come in and do stuff. We typically work with them to figure out a different way for something to work out for them, how it would be. So, you know, maybe one a year we've had of these, maybe one every 2 years.
Okay.
And then there's been some situations I can think of, like right off the truck route that we did some things with D Street. Or we did do some abandonment, but then they dedicated some. So we're really kind of relocating things, how things work. I mean, as everybody knows, the streets themselves don't follow the topography. They're not really following these lines that were drawn on the map. So some of the places, it makes it really hard that here's the right-of-way, but it really didn't develop. The town didn't develop that way. The town went, oh, no, there's a big rock there. We're driving around. You know, we're not here. So... the map on our wall looks really nice and pretty with straight lines and rulers and everything that they did, but that really isn't how the town developed as easily as that.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments at this time?
I do not. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman.
I just wanted to piggyback onto your question about how many of these we had done. Kathy, has the method for how the abandonment is distributed been pretty consistent through those different ones that have come up in the past, as far as the way you described it, dividing by the neighboring property and so on and so forth?
Yes.
Is that
a
fairly
law.
Consistent
so
guy?
Yes, that's what we're following state. I believe it's state law, not federal law. It's a law beyond Story County's regulations that we're following. That's how they do it. And then that's always what we're looking at. Is are we leaving anybody landlocked? You know, even properties that aren't developed yet, if that's their access to get to the property, that needs to stay. Even if it's not built, even if it seems crazy to try to build something there, that's the legal access, and we're not going to take that away.
Very good. Thank you. That's the only question that I have. I'll probably have a comment or two.
Okay, great. I will ask again, is there any new public comment from individuals that haven't spoken? Please just make sure to state your name for the record.
This is the applicant.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Carol May. I'm one of the owners of the Silverland. We're a family-run business. We've owned the RV park in town for nearly 9 years now. We saw an opportunity with the Silverland. The Silverland is $12 million in debt when we took it on. Never made a penny, but I feel that our passion for Virginia City, we're going to give it a try and try and turn it around for all of us in the community. We're asking you to, I'm not very good at publicly speaking.
You're just fine.
I can work hard, but I don't publicly speak. So the land we're talking about is a tailing pile, which is right outside the back. In the middle is where the fairgrounds used to be. We're basically asking them to use that piece. The bottom where we have the right of way for everybody, it's a lot larger piece than just your road where everybody
drives through. We have no problem with that. We love to see people walking their dogs and things down there. We want to open it up so we can do things like movie nights, community things, picnics. It's a waste of land right now doing nothing. We're not investors. We're hardworking family is what we are.
Thank you.
And anything we can do with our land to help our community, that's what we want to do.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment at this time? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared at this time to make a motion?
I am. I just have one or two comments before I do, if that's all right.
Yeah, I'll have to find this
too. Okay, great. You know, I preserving the history is very important to me. And I one of the things that has come out of this discussion, particularly from some of the items that Claude has brought up, is that he's highlighted some elements of the history of this town that I believe are sorely underdeveloped or underrepresented in their interpretation, and should be handled in a much more significant fashion. A lot of the industrial activity that happened through that middle corridor in the G&H Street area, and long-term, I really would like to see those developed. You know, that being said, you know, we are balancing the preservation of history with the ability of people to use their private property. And you know, certainly I take into account looking at this, and thank you for finding these old maps. If there were historic travel patterns through this area, I think I might look at it differently. But given that it's on paper, but there's no indication that it was either a historical use pattern or that there are current developments or improvements made, it's very hard for me to say, let's preserve it for something that we might want to do in the future, when the current opportunity is to allow the surrounding property owners to use their property more effectively. And so I'm inclined to be in favor of this motion as our planning commission has recommended.
Good. Thank you, Vice Chair. Commissioner Gilman, before I ask for the reading of the findings, do you have any other statements or comments?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Since Vice Chair is prepared to make a motion, Kathy, can you read the findings, please?
The findings of fact for a motion of approval. This approval is to abandon the portion of G Street, H Street, and Sutton Street rights of way located between Mill Street and Sutton Street in Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. The rights of way to be abandoned will be consolidated into the adjacent parcels of land owned by the applicant, and easements will be reserved for utilities. The rights of way to be abandoned are adjacent to APN 001-154-03, 001-158-01, and 001-192-01. The abandonment complies with NRS 278.480 related to the abandonment of street or easement. The abandonment complies with all federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to vacation or abandonment of streets or easements, including NRS 278.240. The abandonment will not pose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. The abandonment will not cause the public to be materially injured by the proposed abandonment. The conditions of approval for the requested abandonment do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Chapter 17.12.090, general provisions, access and rights of way, or any other federal, state, or county regulations.
Thank you, Kathy. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, in accordance with the recommendation by the Planning Commission and staff, the findings of fact under Section 3A of the staff report, as read into the record by county staff, and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby move to approve the abandonment of a portion of G Street, H Street, and Sutton Street rights of way located between Mill Street and Sutton Street in Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. The rights of way to be abandoned will be consolidated into the adjacent parcels of land owned by the applicant, and easements will be reserved for utilities. The rights of way to be abandoned are adjacent to APNs 001-154-03, 001-158-01, and 001-192-01.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for the public comment. Appreciate the business owner being here as well. Moving on, item number 25. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of variance file number 2025-037. A request to allow for a reduced front yard setback to construct an addition to an existing residence. Property is located within the CR, also known as Commercial Residential Zoning District, outside the downtown district of Virginia City. The variance request is to allow for an approximate 0-foot front yard setback from the property line for the proposed residence addition. Property is located at 321 South D Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. Such as parcel number APN 001-131-27. Kathy?
Thank you. Yes, so this is a request for a variance to go to a zero setback along D Street. The properties that are immediately across the street are also at an approximately zero setback as also a parcel that's right to the north of this location. This area on the east side of D Street is outside of the downtown district, so that follows a 20-foot front yard setback for residential, whereas the residences that are on the west side of D Street have a zero setback because they are in the downtown district. So it's an arbitrary line, pretty much. You know, it's an invisible line. You can't tell the difference between the two, but everything here is built kind of small enough up to the roadways. There is a question about where exactly the property line is. We're wanting to make sure that this is approved to go to a 0% or 0-foot lot line, that it's not built in the right way. So as a condition of approval, we're asking that they have this front area surveyed for them to show where that lot line is. There was a discussion at the Planning Commission with the look of the building and the historic standards for the town. The county itself doesn't have those regulations for how this building's going to look. It may potentially be because where that lot line is, that the new addition will have to be scooted back a bit from where the existing thing is, if the existing house is within the right of way. Obviously the house has been there, it's pre-1900. We're not going to ask them to move anything with the house. But the addition itself is like we're not allowing them to actually go into the right of way. So there was discussion about the look of the building, how it would be added, how to differentiate between the older look and the new. That's something the Comstock Historic District will be part of, and we don't have any regulations to really get into that. I mean, the applicant themselves are asking because that makes the most sense for the floor plan for the building. This drops off pretty significantly. Putting something in the back, it's almost a two-story, you're almost at a third-story height to get even with the street on D Street. So it makes sense that where they want to put it. Other than that, we didn't have anybody at the Planning Commission to any neighbors that spoke. We did have two people that had called into the Planning Department, and once we sent them the staff report, they didn't get back with us with any concerns. The Planning Commission voted 6-1 to recommend approval, and the one person that voted against it just had more concerns on the design of the siding rather than the actual variance itself. So I'm happy to answer any questions. I don't see the applicant here, but that might have been a mix of communication with that. And I know he works at a place that has lunchtime issues. So.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. I'm confused about the lunchtime issues, but that's probably not discussion today.
He works at a restaurant.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
I got lunchtime issues every time we have a meeting.
Actually hungry right now. No problem. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
None, thank you.
Mr. Sherman?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion? Oh, sorry. Kathy, would you care to read the findings?
Okay, so the findings of fact for a motion for approval. this is a variance file 2025-037 to allow for a reduced front yard setback to construct an addition to an existing residence. Property is located within the CR Commercial Residential Zoning District outside of the downtown district in Virginia City. The variance request is to allow for the approximate 0-foot front yard setback from the property line for the proposed residence addition. The property is located at 321 South D Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APN 001-131-27. Subject property is located within the CR Commercial Residential Zoning District outside of the downtown district in which the single family residences are an allowed use. That because of the special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including shape, size, topography, or location of surroundings, the strict applications of the zoning ordinance would deprive the subject property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity or under identical zone classification. That the granting of the variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of the substantial property rights of the applicant. That the granting of the variance will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons residing or working in the area of the subject property and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property or improvements in the area of the subject property. The proposed variance is in compliance with all federal Nevada state and Story County regulations. The proposed variance is in compliance with Story County Code 17.03.140 variances and 17.12 general provisions and 17.30 CR commercial residential zone when all conditions of approval are met. The proposed variance is in compliance with and supports the goals, objectives, and policies of the 2024 Story County Master Plan.
Thank you, Kathy. Vice Chairman, you prepare to make a motion?
I am.
No lunch for us today? Show up empty-handed?
Actually, I am, but I actually have one more question for Kathy.
Perfect.
Sorry.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Kathy, I'm just thinking about this, I'm glad that there was some thought put into the need to not further encroach into the right of way. I guess this is kind of a what if question. What if the survey shows that the existing house is significantly into the right of way, which potentially then significantly reduces the amount of space that would be available in the proposed addition, and that for some reason doesn't work for the applicant? What's the procedure at that point? Are they stuck? Do they have to come back? I'm just trying to, because we have an unknown in the mix, I'm trying to kind of foresee what happens at that point.
If they have that survey and it shows where that line is, then they're going to need to make their decision on, do they like how the design is? Can they adjust it? We wouldn't let them build in the right of way. There's a couple different options. One could be to abandon some of the right of way. I don't necessarily know in this case we would be supportive of that because it is pretty narrow as far as what's existing there. They could look at a different design of how they're doing it right now. They've got it pretty like narrow and long, could be long and narrow, more of a L shaped rather than just a square. But they would need to design that. We wouldn't be able to prevent them to build it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Chair, I'm happy to make a motion unless we'd like to allow the applicant to.
I was actually going to ask, do you folks have, we were just about to make a motion. Is there anything you guys wanted to add?
I'm sorry.
I just need you to state your name for the record when you get to the podium.
Not a problem. I saw how long it was, so I was dragging my feet. My name is Peter Lutz. I own 321 South D. I'm submitting to have a zero right away in front of my house, but she's an old girl, 1863. I have five lots, and I own the next 175 feet to the south as well, which is where I'm building it. The way that my house is cocked away from the street, I'm like, there would be no way of using any of that land for right of way purposes whatsoever, even in the future, without moving my home or paying to vacate or what have you. It seems to me the way that everything lays out without an official pin on one side of it, but there's two other brand new pins that are two lots down that are lined up, and you can line beside it and it's still off my porch. But I'm like, I've seen a couple of the surveys that they have marked down, and some of them show my house in the right of way, and some of them don't. But I'm like, obviously their surveys aren't for my home. As far as I can see, I don't think I'm in the right of way at all. And I just want to, you know, make it more useful as far as getting old and being on the first floor with the room would be nice. Before I can't do it anymore. But I'm like, I don't want to do anything halfway. I want everything to be nice and cohesive with the town. You know, we're not out to make things gaudy or anything else. But I'm like, if you have any questions about the print or anything else, you can ask me. I'm like, I just happen to have an old girl that's just right on the road face.
Appreciate it.
You know, I'm like, I step out my door all the time and I wave. I'm like, don't hit me. I'm like, that's about the gist of it. I've already made it through the Historical Society with an approval. I got my C of A on that and just going through the process and trying to get everything done.
Great.
For sure, I'll be building it myself, which is kind of what we do. I just finished that shop down there too. But, yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. In accordance with the recommendation by the Planning Commission and staff, the findings of fact under Section 3A of this report, as read into the record by county staff, and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners, and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve a variance, file 2025-037, to allow for a reduced front yard setback to construct an addition to an existing residence. The property is located within the CR, Commercial Residential Zoning District, outside of the downtown district in Virginia City. The variance request is to allow for an approximate 0-foot front yard setback from the property line for the proposed residence addition. The property is located at 321 South D Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number 001-131-27.
A second. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Mr. Lutz. All right, moving on to item number 12. This is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of resolution number 25-777, setting the tax rate levy at 3.4607% for fiscal year 25-26.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain for the record. This is the resolution that sets the actual levy for FY26. It's in accordance with NRS 361.460. In February, the tax rate was set at 3.4607 to stay the same. During the budget process, we presented the breakdown that's in the resolution to change the apportionment to add some new funds. So basically, this is a housekeeping issue for you to approve the resolution and then Jennifer will do his job and collect property taxes.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I do not. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Is there any public comment? Nobody wants to raise the tax? Okay. Fair enough. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution 25-777, setting the tax rate levy at 3.4607 for fiscal year 2025-2026.
Second. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer. On to item number 13, discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the transfers in various funds within the Story County 24 through 25 budget. Pursuant to NRS 354.59800, total amount of transfers is $1,944,908, with a net adjustment of $0 in overall budget. Jennifer?
Jennifer McCain for the record. As Chairman Carmona stated in the title of this item, these transfers have an overall zero effect on the budget, while they do have an effect on individual funds and departments. With that, We look at our overall budget at the end of May going into June, and when we look at it all year, we zero in on things that could possibly be over budget. My first look is to correct someone's budget within their own department. Then I branch out, if that's not possible, looking at other departments within the general fund and transferring money that way. Then we just keep getting bigger and bigger. Of course, there's contingency that's built into every budget, and I try to, as a practice, save that for bigger items that we know well in advance or that were unforeseen countywide. So with that, we have the administrative fund, or HR. There were some changes in their staffing and payroll issues, as well as retiree insurance, that gave their wages and benefits an overage, combined overage of $77,000. With that, they had a very underspent account for professional services, so I was able to take the money from their own department services supplies and move it to the wages and benefits objects. The same as with the sheriff's office. They had some unexpected overtime due to some issues with inmates and other things that I don't think we can talk about here, but they were also able to, I was able to take from their benefits, specifically health insurance. Health insurance tends to be a very fluid when we have new employees coming in, or we have employees changing their elected benefits in May. We tend to budget higher than maybe they elect. So that's always an easy one to take money from. Then we have a transfer within the Health and Human Services Department of $1,500 with swimming pools and parks. Their benefit section, PERS and PACT, was going to run slightly under. We were able to take $4,000 from their wages. And with business and development, their wages was trending to be $4,000 over budget. We were able to take that from the benefits of health insurance. Then we move on to transfers between departments. Clerk Treasurer had a need of a transfer with some elected election expenses. May or may not be reimbursed by the state, but we definitely at this point weren't going to take the chance that we would get that reimbursement by June 30th, as well as the new piece of equipment that was approved out of budget purchase. Service department, they purchased the gas and diesel countywide, and then we do a GL each month and disperse that according to which departments use how much they use. Unfortunately, some years we have to make a purchase before that money is spread out amongst the county, and that was the issue for a $30,000 need of an over budget. And then emergency management needed an extra $60,000 for those barriers that Adam talked about earlier. We felt that was a public necessity. We knew that that was going to cause an overage. So we were able to reduce the district's attorney's professional services by $132,000. To boost these three budgets that I just talked about, bring them up, and so that they look whole. Within the Public Works Department, we also had service and supplies, their wages, regular wages and overtime, created a $24,500 overage, and we were able to take that from another Public Works Department buildings and grounds wages and make them whole. So the total transfers between departments is $156,500. Those were the easy ones. We now have transfers from contingency to special revenue funds. And because the contingency is based in the general fund, we needed to also have a resolution, which is the official approval of the commissioners. So we are transferring the full amount of the contingency from the current year, which is $980,291, and we are dispersing that to drug court, $200, genetic marker testing, $1,500, incident accident, $160,000, tri payback, $808,591, and Piper's Opera House for health insurance of $10,000. all of these funds have different reasons of why things have gone over budget, and I can get into those if you would like or if you have specific questions. So that will be resolution 25779. It is included in the approval of this item. Also, we will have transfers between the general fund, specifically the commissioner's budget, into the tribe paybacks of $706,617. This is a payment out of the tribe payback that is calculated. I have to calculate it ahead of time, and then 2 years later we have an audit and true up. So there's always moving parts within those 2 years. So this year we missed our mark by slightly over $1 million, is why there's two budgets, two resolutions to rectify this. That resolution is 25-780. And that's all I have for this item, unless you have specific questions for me.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
So out of abundance of caution, because TRI partnership is named in this, I will not vote on this item. However, I would like to ask, and I apologize for making things more complicated for staff, but in the future, if there is something to do with TRI partnership, payback, or anything else, it'd just be a totally separate item, because I don't want my hands to be tied on being able to vote for some of these other things for the county. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
And I apologize for that.
No problem.
Thank you. Vice Chairman, do you have any questions or comments?
I don't.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the transfers within the 2024-2025 Story County budget in the amount of $1,944,908 in total between general fund, departments, funds, and contingency, with a net adjustment to the county budget of $0. And I move to approve resolution 25-779 to transfer funds from the general fund contingency to the other Story County special revenue funds. And I further move to approve resolution 25-780 to transfer funds from the general fund commissioner's budget to the Story County TRI payback fund.
There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer. On to item number 14, which is discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval for the county manager sign a contract agreement between Story County and Rebecca J. Phipps, Ophir Creek LLC, for the research and development of a comprehensive grants manual and review and update the county's grant administrative policies for not to exceed a cost of $20,000. Laura?
Thank you, Laura Madden, for the record. Given the significant increase in federal funding the county is now receiving, it is imperative that we undertake a thorough review and overhaul of our existing grants policies and procedures. Additionally, the development of a comprehensive grants manual is essential to ensure consistent compliance, improve administrative efficiency, and support the effective management of our current and future funding opportunities. In addition, it's required. So we do have grants that a grants manual is required, and we do not have one. Staff is recommending Rebecca Phipps of Ophir Creek LLC. Ophir Creek is the only respondent located in Nevada, and staff believes the local-based knowledge is essential to ensure the manual is tailored to the specific needs, regulations, and opportunities relevant in our region. Additionally, working with a Nevada-based consultant allows for convenient in-person meetings, which will facilitate more effective collaboration and reduce reliance on video conferencing. So we like the idea of having a local person do this manual for us so that we can work closely with them, have in-person meetings, enable them to understand the needs of the county. That is the end of my staff report. Rebecca is here if you have any questions for her.
Great. Thank you very much. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I do not. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions.
Well, public comment. Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the county manager to sign a contract agreement between Story County and Rebecca J. Phipps, Ophir Creek LLC, for the research and development of a comprehensive grants manual and review and update the county's grant administrative policies for an amount not to exceed cost of $20,000.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Laura. On to item number 15, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval regarding resolution number 25-776, recognizing the zip code 89437 assigned to McCarran, Story County, Nevada, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center by the United States Post Office, effective November 10, 2018. Laura?
Thank you, Laura Mather, for the record. Formal recognition of the zip code 89437 for the McCarran area is essential to ensure accurate tax allocation and data reporting. When businesses use the incorrect zip code of 89434 associated with a neighboring jurisdiction, they may be subject to higher sales taxes and other fees, leading to unnecessary costs and misallocated revenue. Official recognition will encourage, hopefully, correct usage and help preserve the integrity of Story County's businesses and economic records. So I've given this subject a lot of thought, and I've worked closely with Congressman Amade's office and his staff to try to get clear letters from the United States Post Office. That seems to be impossible. And so, understandably, there's a lot of confusion with the businesses in that area on what zip code to use and where they're located. So my plan is to, if you approve this resolution, I'm going to send the resolution and a letter to every single business that's out there. Also, the United States Post Office has a link that you can go to, put in your address, and it gives the zip code and the plus four. So it's going to be very time consuming. I'm just going to set aside time each week to do this, just maybe send out one letter a week. I'm going to do a screenshot of that USPS link that shows the correct address, the correct zip code, and the plus four. Set that with the resolution and the letter to the business, to the corporate office. And I hope that solves the problem. I've just a lot of thought, and I was being as creative as I possibly could to come up with a fix for this, and that's what I've come up with.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
So I appreciate you taking this on. It is truly a problem out there. I personally have issues out there with the zip code. One of the issues I've run into as well is when Google does not recognize the address or McCarran, Nevada, or the zip code. And a lot of businesses will only use the address that Google has on their site. So I don't know if that's worth looking into, but thank you so much for working on this. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on a mission to get people out there, companies using the right address.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
That was Commissioner Gilman.
Sorry, Commissioner Mitchell.
Quite all right. Yeah. no problem. Thank you, Laura, for doing this. You know, I don't know if maybe in the future a forthcoming resolution might be something that if a business is not using the 89437 zip code, maybe they're subject to full planning commission approvals and so on and so forth, might be something that gets their attention when they want to do things. If my other question is, if we were to recognize, let's say, Lockwood as part of 89437, do you think that carries any weight?
I don't. So the only reason why this does is because the post office actually has formally recognized it.
Got it.
But there's still so much confusion, and I'm just dumbfounded by that.
Gotcha.
It's a good idea, though, Commissioner.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, on Commissioner Gilman's point, that Google thing, it's too bad we don't know anyone at Google. Wait.
Gee.
We might be able to.
Don't make me say this on the record. It was harder to get Google to change their maps than it was Apple, and we had nobody at Apple. So
I'd like to make another comment.
Please.
So part of the issue is with shipping. And when you try to order something and use that zip code, a lot of companies just will not send it to that zip code. And I think that may be why some of the businesses are not using the zip code on a consistent basis. So I think all of this will help.
Yeah, let's hope.
Agreed. And I have talked to many of the businesses that are concerned about this. And what they are finding is if they use Sparks and the zip code, a lot of times they will get that shipment. It's if they use McCarran and the correct zip code where the problem comes in. So it's, yeah, it's really, yeah, it's going to be guessing right now. And I'm sure it depends on what shipping company is. So I'm hoping with this resolution, and to be honest, what I wanted was just a formal looking document that maybe somebody is going to take seriously. And so hopefully with this resolution, if I send it to the shipping companies or I get it to Google or whoever, it's going to get this fixed.
Right.
I'm hoping that formal looking filed document will have a little more pull than Laura calling them saying, please use the right zip code.
You're definitely making the Highlands getting its own zip code a lot less enticing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Is there any public comment?
If I can, Mr. Chair, as Clerk Treasurer, just remind the board that it was a 10-year ordeal to get the Act of Congress to get the zip code.
Yeah.
So, you know, what Commissioner Gilman's running into, we run into those issues with talking to companies for property tax bills, et cetera, in terms of getting things set out. So this is a big issue. And the fact that now you have a private company that impacts people's perceptions is another challenge.
Fair enough. Thank you, Jim. One more time, is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, well, if officials what Lord needs, should I include a budgetary approval for gold leaf and all that on the
I like it.
Resolution?
Embossing.
Silver, because we're here.
That's right. There was gold found here.
Oh, yes. Plenty of it. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 25-776. For the recognition of zip code 89437 assigned to McCarran, Story County, Nevada, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center by the United States Post Office effective November 10th, 2018.
Second. There is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Laura. Godspeed. On to item number 16, discussion of possible action, consideration of possible approval of a letter to Nevada senators and congressional representative requesting their support for reauthorization of the Historic Preservation Fund in the fiscal year 2026 budget.
So Sarah Schwartz for the record. So this letter to Nevada's U.S. senators and congressional representative is to request their support for the reauthorization and full funding of the Historic Preservation Fund up to $225 million in the federal fiscal year 2026 budget. So I want to start off by saying that the HPF has never been funded by taxpayer dollars. It is supported by revenues from offshore oil and gas leases, and it provides critical funding to state historic preservation offices, or SHPOs, across the country. So it covers about 60% of Nevada SHPO's operating budget, which includes the Comstock Historic District. So here in Story County, this HPF funding is essential to the day-to-day operations of the Comstock Historic Commission, as it funds staff who conduct project reviews, provide preservation planning, and work directly with property owners and other agencies to ensure development within Comstock is reviewed promptly and professionally. So this funding helps to balance growth with the need to preserve the historic character of our community. So the HPF has also supported county projects via their grant program. So recently, we've been able to update the inventory and the database of the Comstock Historic District's architectural resources. Then we have been reimbursed for staff travel and conference fees to attend historic preservation trainings and conferences. So without this funding, both the Comstock Historic District Commission and the county could face limitations. We'd likely see slower project reviews, COAs, reduced support for property owners, and fewer tools to protect and promote the integrity of the Comstock. So it's important to note that although the SHPO has another state grant program, the Commission for Cultural Centers and Historic Preservation, the CCCHP, some of that grant manager salary at SHPO is paid through the HPF. And just in the past 4 years, that CCCHP program has provided more than $1 million in funding to the county, the Fourth Ward School, St. Mary's Art Center, and the cemetery, with approximately $187,000 of that being for the county courthouse and the Piper's Opera House projects. So if federal funding is cut, SHPO will likely need to reduce their staff, which could impact preservation efforts, not just in the Comstock, but across the state. So the letter urges our federal delegation to support HPF funding and advocate for authorization of this critical program.
All right, thank you, Sarah. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
Yeah, I just have one comment, and that is, you know, I'm all for doging the federal government. But I think that some practical recognition of the current situation in Washington, D.C. is in order. And what I've heard as I've spoken with and visited is that in many ways, the current approach is cut everything and then see who screams the loudest and restore that. And so it's kind of shifted a burden onto us to speak up for our priorities. And I'm not sure that's necessarily a bad thing. It's kind of along the veins of a line item veto, right? It puts us where we're not blanket approving, but we're really doing some soul searching about what's important to us. That combined with the fact that it's not taxpayer funded, but it has a specific funding source is something that I think that I can support.
Noted. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve and sign the enclosed letter to Nevada senators and congressional representatives requesting their support for the reauthorization of the Historic Preservation Fund in the federal fiscal year 2026 budget.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Sarah. On to item number 17 brings us to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Bringing us to item number 18, which is the consent agenda. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the consent agenda?
I do not, thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell.
I'm good.
Is there any public comment regarding the Fire Commissioner, the Fire Protection District consent agenda? Not seeing any, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, you prepared to make a motion?
I move to approve the Fire Protection District consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 19, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for resolution 25-778. To augment the Story County Fire Protection District 24 through 25 budget pursuant to NRS 354.59800, the proposed budget augmentation is $240,000. Comptroller McCain.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain for the record. This is a resolution that will we're augmenting. An augment would mean we're raising the revenue as well as raising the expenses. We had unanticipated revenue in this mutual aid fund. Mutual aid is a fund that tracks out-of-district fires and the money that we're reimbursed for those. Unfortunate for our neighbors and other communities around the country. We don't always send people just to our neighbors. There have been a lot of fires in the past, I think, year, which would have been last summer. And therefore, we collected a lot more money. We sent out a lot more firefighters and apparatus. So with that, we have the need to increase the expenses, mainly wages and benefits. That total comes to $240,000. And that, as you can see, their revenue was originally budgeted to be $644,000. We've actually collected, as of May 30th, $1.4 million. So that ending fund balance is growing, but I need to earmark some of that to be used this year.
Thank you, Jennifer. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I do not. Thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell.
Neither do I.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, you prepared to make a motion?
Yes, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 25-778 to augment the Story County Fire District 2024-2025 budget pursuant to NRS 354.59800. The proposed budget augmentation totals $240,000.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 20, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval for resolution number 25-781 to augment the Story County Fire District's 24 through 25 budget pursuant to NRS 354.59800. The proposed budget augmentation totals $500,000. Comptroller McCain.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain for the record. This resolution and augmentation does basically the same thing. We're going to increase the revenue budget as well as increase the expenses. We knew that when the purchase of the property for the new Station 75 was approved, that we may have some over budget items as ordered equipment would be delivered to the fire station. So that's what this resolution is for. We need $500,000 to true up the expenses, and we have sufficient revenues within this fund to take care of that.
Great. Thank you, Comptroller McCain. Fire Commissioner Gilman, questions, comments?
No, thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Is there any public comment? Quiet in the back. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. You hold the meeting at a school, everyone acts like it, right?
I'm telling you.
I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 25-781 to augment the Story County Fire District 2024-2025 budget pursuant to NRS 354.59800. The proposed budget augmentation totals $500,000.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer. On to item number 21 is to recess to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board. Bringing us to item number 22, discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the transfers within the Story County Water and Sewer 24 through 25 budget. Pursuant to NRS 354.59800, the total amount of the transfers, $11,500, with a net adjustment of $0 in the overall budget.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain for the record. Waiting for the whistle to go off, sorry.
15 minutes, 20 minutes.
So this is a simple transfer within the special revenue fund. We had some overtime issues in both of these departments for various reasons, maybe out of normal business hours, water or sewer leaks. So we were able to, for the water fund, take $7,500 from the health insurance within the budget, the object of benefits, and transfer it over to the object of wages. The same is true for the sewer fund, or the amount of that fund is $4,000. This will have no overall effect in the actual ending fund balance. So, do you have questions for me?
Thank you, Jennifer. Fire Commissioner, Water Commissioner. Gets confusing.
Sewer Commissioner.
Sewer Commissioner. How about Commissioner Gilman? Do you have any questions or comments? All right. Vice Chairman?
I'm good, thanks.
All right. Public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, my Commissioner Mitchell move to approve the transfers within the 2024-2025 Story County Water and Sewer budgets in the amount of $11,500 with a net adjustment to the county budgets of $0.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer. You look like you are done.
I'm done.
All right. Nicely done. Item number 23, recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 26, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of an agreement for a professional service contract between Story County and GCW Inc. This contract is related to professional services related to the Virginia City Parking and Circulation Study. GCW will be reimbursed for time and materials related to assisting county staff with the analysis of parking and circulation issues within Virginia City. The contract will not exceed $225,000 and will expire June 30, 2026. This contract amount has been included in both the planning department budget for fiscal year 24-25 and 25-26 under the category of professional services. Kathy?
Yes, thank you. So this is a project we're working on with quite a few of the different county groups, emergency services, fire, sheriff, VCTC, public works have all been involved in getting the scope of work together, put together. Everyone's had a chance to look this over. We've met with the GCW to go over
The items that are in here have tweaked some things, and staff is confident that this will do get us some information that we're looking for the town. Once this is agreed to upon, all these different county groups are also still going to be continued to be involved. So this isn't just going to be the planning department, although I think I'm the coordinator of everybody. Staff is recommending approval.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, questions, comments?
Just a comment. You know, $225,000 to study parking just seems excessive to me, but other than that, I have no comments.
I've said it many times, Commissioner, we're in the wrong business. Vice Chairman, any questions or comments?
I don't have any questions.
All right. How about public comment? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am, and if I could just maybe ask kind of along those lines, Kathy, the way that this is worded is to reimburse. In other words, is this a kind of as needed basis, or is this a full here's the scope, here's the contract, or is that kind of up to the discretion of how much assistance is needed?
No, the reimbursement means that they'll work for the month, and then at the end of the month, they'll give us an itemized list of everything that they've done,
okay.
And then we'll reimburse them for that month.
Got it. Is it anticipated that to obtain deliverables, we'll need to get to the full 225, or is it kind of a bit of piecemealing that could be done along the way?
It could be piecemealing along the way. I mean, we'll look at it monthly. Here, the deliverables are what we're looking for. If they find out or we get some information, or maybe we don't need this kind of information, then they wouldn't do it. We're just reimbursing them for their time and materials. It's also, besides just parking, it's circulation too. So there is a little bit more than just trying to identify just what the parking needs and stuff and coming up with ideas. This also kind of goes hand in hand with the survey work that we've had approved and is currently ongoing for B Street, trying to identify opportunities that we might have for future parking, future circulation issues and such. But no, the reimbursement means that they do the work and then we'll pay them back. We'll pay them for that work.
Sure. And I think more than anything, my question was, is this, you know, this is a maximum on the contract, but it's not necessarily, if we don't need that much of their services, then we're not obligated to pay that much of their services. There's some control over the scope as we go. Perfect. Thank you. All right. With that, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve an agreement for professional services. Oh, sorry. Am I jumping the gun? Did
no,
we put the comment on all that? Or are we back through?
Yep, okay. That's your on point.
What was that?
Move us along.
I'm happy to. I just wasn't sure if this was my first bite of the apple or if
no,
I was coming
you're,
back.
You're
okay.
Good. Just one bite.
And all right. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve an agreement for professional services contract between Story County and GCW Inc. This contract is related to professional services related to the Virginia City Parking and Circulation Study. This contract will not exceed $225,000 and will expire on June 30th, 2026. This contract amount has been included in both the planning department's budget for fiscal year 24-25 and 25-26 under the category of professional services.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. On to 27. Discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of a grant of easement file number 2025-039. To NV Energy for communication, gas, and electric facilities within the Denmark Drive right-of-way in the Caron, Story County, Nevada. Kathy?
Yes, so this is a request NV Energy had reached out to us. In doing the research, they found they didn't have any easement that was on Denmark Drive between USA Parkway and Venice. So this is just to allow for that too.
All right, noted, Kathy. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
How about public comment? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, in accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve a grant of easement 2025-039 to NV Energy for communication, gas, and electric facilities within the Denmark Drive right-of-way, McCarran, Story County, Nevada.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy.
On to item number 28, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the disposal of the Agilis Duo Ballot Sorting Machine by the Clerk Treasurer and termination of expiring annual service and maintenance contract for the machine with Runbuck Election Services. Clerk Treasurer Hindle.
With your leave, Commissioner, if I, Mr. Chair, if I could stay here as opposed to work my way around.
Should we deliberate?
This one is pretty straightforward.
Limbo under the cord.
Yeah, that's right, on record. Jim Hindle, Clerk and Treasurer, for the record. This one's straightforward. In 2022, May of 22, the state had an opportunity for the office to procure through them a ballot sorter. This was anticipating in 2022 the increase in mail ballots, because the first time we used mail ballots was in 2020. And this was looking at preparing for greater mail ballot use and more mail ballot participation. The long and short of it is we've never used it. It is something that it takes a little bit longer to set up and prep in order to run, and is more in use in the larger counties of Washoe and Clark, Carson, Douglas. We don't have the volume on a daily basis to make it worthwhile, and we must process our received mail ballots on a daily basis. We can't batch them in larger batches to get efficiency out of it. So as the office, worked with the Secretary of State's office to try and find a home for it in state. We worked with Runback to try and find a home for it out of state. The net impact is that the Secretary of State's office reimbursed us for the original purchase. So it really is a no money loss to the county, but we just don't have use for it and we don't have a place to store it. So we ask for its disposal.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this item?
No.
Vice Chairman?
Does it have any use as like yard art or something like that?
It could be yard art.
Okay.
But I would not. I would not think that you probably want to have it out there with all its electrical equipment. It would be a hazardous waste item.
Gotcha.
All right. Public comment. Not seeing any, Vice Chairman. You prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Clerk and Treasurer's Office to dispose of the Agilis Duo Ballot Sorting Machine by the Clerk and Treasurer, and termination of expiring annual service and maintenance contract for the machine with Runbeck Election Services.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Jim. Item number 29, discussion for possible action. Discuss and consider authorizing the county manager to sign and approve a contract between Story County and Lakota HRM LLC from July 1st, 2025 to, where are you going? You can stay up here. July 1st, 25 to June 30, 2026, in an amount of $95 an hour, not to exceed 600 hours, on an as-needed basis for the purpose of providing prescribed human resource services, including labor relations, independent administrative investigations, union contract negotiations, and other related services. County Manager Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. It's Austin Osborne for the record. I'm speaking on behalf of human resources. It was important to make today's meeting. We would just like to renew Lakota HRM's contract for another year. The owner of Lakota, Jean Green, she has been pretty solid that she just wants to maintain the same hourly rate and the same period of time of 1 year. She does provide just as needed basis up to the cap human resources services, particularly with collective bargaining agreements and labor relations cases.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thanks.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve authorizing the county manager to sign and approve a contract between Story County and Lakota HRM LLC commencing July 1st, 2025 and ending June 30th, 2026. In an amount of $95 per hour, not exceeding 600 hours on an as-needed basis for the purpose of providing prescribed human resources services, including labor relations, independent administrative investigations, union contract negotiations, and other related services.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
On to item number 30, discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible consideration of a memorandum of understanding between Story County and Tesla Inc. to temporarily deviate from Exhibit B, Section A of Amendment 1 to the Tesla Story County Government Services Agreement for Economic Diversification District Number 2 regarding vehicle use and access on Milan Drive at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. County Manager?
All right, thank you, Austin Osberg, for the record, County Manager. Tesla has been working on their semi-factory, and they have some temporary needs for employee and construction parking, and the government services agreement that we have for that second gigafactory has some limitations on the use of Milan Drive, pretty restricted, trying to keep traffic off that road. Under a temporary basis, they'd like to divert traffic onto Milan, park them over at 385 at their own facility that they own, and then get those folks onto a shuttle and have the shuttle run the people back and forth to the semi-factory project. We don't see an issue with it. We looked at way, Mr. Bowles, by the way, is with us here from Tesla. We talked about a way to not have to amend the government services agreement, but just do a memorandum of understanding. Thank you, WTA Brown, for helping us navigate through something simple and a somewhat complicated matter. Really what this allows them to do that for the rest of the year until December 31st. And that is pretty much it. There's an exhibit in there that explains this. There's also an item in here that Mr. Bowles and I talked about today. Tesla employees or construction contractors have been parking along Milan Drive. There apparently might be some damage to some road markers along that area just for the construction and the congestion. Talked to Mr. Bowles, their public works director. We don't know what the damage is yet. It could be somewhere maybe $987,000. Mr. Bowles and I are in conversation about potential just getting a little bit of assistance from Tesla to offset the cost that we would have to put in to make the improvements. We would like to ask that this board just add to its motion it authorizes me to work with Mr. Bowles and Tesla, obviously within the confines of our attorney's office, to resolve that issue potentially in this MOU, as Mr. Bowles showed that they would like to be cooperative and just try to make this work right here.
All right, thank you, County Manager. Commissioner Gilman, questions, comments?
Well, I've seen some of the issues out there on that road, and approving this, I think, will definitely help what's happening out there. So thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
And I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Give me just a second. County Manager, that was along the long drive.
Correct.
Thank you. All right. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between Story County and Tesla Inc. to temporarily deviate from Exhibit B, Section A of Amendment 1 to the Tesla Story County Government Services Agreement for Economic Diversification District Number 2 from 2024 regarding vehicle use and access on Milan Drive at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. I further move to authorize County Manager and the DA's office to work with Tesla to negotiate a reasonable offset for potential parking or roadside damage along Milan Drive.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Brian, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Moving on to 31, discussion only. No action. No public comment will be taken. Review legislative bills and actions that occurred in the 2025 legislative season.
All right, thank you, Mr. Commissioners, Austin Rosen, for the record, coming up here, and I'm just going to pass the torch over to Will and Alex from SSGR, really to explain our bills. I am super happy, as we all are, that the governor did not only allow SB 69 to be approved, but he did put his ink on it, which shows his endorsement. So we're really proud about that. And thank you. It's sending a letter of thank you to the governor's office and the staff, as well as the folks in the legislature that helped us along the way. So we're here.
Just have 45 seconds, Will. Use it wisely.
Nonetheless. Will answer for the record. But I it's not about Daniel and Roman Rowe. Those are tough testimonies.
So Will Hadler, guys, this was a heck of a session. We actually had a really good time. Becoming new friends with GOED and the whole governor's office and the entire team of economic development in Nevada, because it came to a head in a few ways. A, the governor's team brought their own bill and it died on fire, AB 76, didn't actually get a hearing or didn't actually proceed forward, but we became the topic of the day. SB 69 was Story County's priority. It was our main, hill to die on. And I'm really proud of, the efforts of the county, because we brought forward what was a bit of a legislative monster, right? You have your ideas, your priorities. When it comes to drafting, the mechanisms involved, clearly we're going to cost, maybe a fiscal note, it's going to be too mechanistically difficult, and GOED was going to, stymie us. But through the efforts of Austin Osborne and the whole team, we actually did come to a good place. And as the county manager said, not only was it approved, but it was signed by the governor and brought into law today. So good on us for SB 69, but other priorities were SB 116, the county pay bill, and making sure that our other executives of the county are well taken care of, because the county doesn't run without its professionals, right? And we need to make sure the pay is on scale with other professional careers in Nevada, or we're going to lose our assessors, we're going to lose our controllers, offices, and everything else. So again, to the efforts, it was a really successful session, and we are proud of all the efforts we put forward this year. There was a long list of bills that lived and died, and we've assessed those and sort of put them together in this lovely document here. I will read them all now before you. I will not. But we will email them to the whole county team as the session is behind us and does not have to haunt us anymore. But to talk to the next steps and sort of proceeding into the future, the mechanisms around SB 69 are there. They're clearly written into law. But I think it behooves the county today now to take that next active step to actually forwardly reach out to GOED, reach out to some of the entities that are going to be working with us, like EDON and NNDA, and say, this is the new law of the land, and structurally, here's how we expect it to go forth. In fact, we lay out sort of our idea of what we think the next step should be. I'm pretty sure nobody at GOED or any other entity has actually thought it through to where SB 69 matures to real policy. So I think it does behoove the county to take those active steps, engage with the governor's office directly, make sure it's clear what's expected when another $1 billion or $3.5 billion abatement comes to town, and what would be the triggers for them engaging with the county, bringing us to the table, getting inside the NDA process, because it's there. But we really want to set that expectation of when we're brought in and how we're going to be comfortable or happy with the mechanisms you created in law. Additionally, we just show having that early time will allow us to do a proper GSA, document the costs. And the more time we have, the better we'll do, as we do at TESOL 2. So I think those are all processes that move us. A couple other mechanisms were passed into law. The governor's bill did die. 76, there's some of those mechanisms around GOED board choice, and some of their opinions are there, so they can reject an application or amend it to some degree. Again, in those tracks, I think we should engage now and directly, so we sort of have a record of what are these going to look like, what are the expectations on the ground, and have that interface now to show we care about those topics. We want to see that progress in a meaningful and productive way, not in some nonsense way that it could go down that road. So those are sort of next steps, but I'm not sure it takes an action to direct me to do that. But anything else you guys think in the interim or in the now, we should be looking at. I do plan on helping out or looking to that future. So let us know the engagements post-session, but we had a really successful year, and I'm really proud of the whole county and you guys for really stepping up, drawing that line and saying this needs to change, and by gosh, it changed, right? So that's something very few counties get done and very few people actually try to do. And it was a big effort, but proud of everybody here. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Will or Austin at this point?
I do not, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I just kind of want to echo those thoughts. It's a pretty big deal. And as Will said, there are not a lot of local jurisdictions that even attempt to take on weighty matters at the state level, and I think that's a good part of our culture, is being willing to take on meaningful things, and I think it's something that we should definitely encourage.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm going to go a little bit more into our team. I mean, this is the third legislative session I've been a part of. Everybody that we've drawn in Story County, as far as staff,
has been fantastic. Our lobby team at Silver State Government Relations, they've been with us through innovation zones, SB 432 and now SB 69. County manager, obviously you've been down there. You know, I've mentioned this before, but Vice Chairman Mitchell, I really firmly believe he lived down there for a few months. And, you know, some folks have asked.
Hey, the rent's cheaper.
Food's cheap, too. Some folks asked, you know, if it's, is it necessary? And I'll be honest with you. I think this year it made a pretty big impact. You know, having an elected official down there, no offense to the lobbyists in the room, but after a while, the senators and assembly folks, you know, just get used to seeing you guys. And I think the time that Clay spent down there, obviously away from his family, away from his job, you know, I just want to call out because I don't have that in me to do it. You know, he was down there just hammering on these guys constantly, and our lobby team, Austin, again, staff. I just want to say thank you because I don't know any county that's been successful three times at the legislature like we have with some very big, very big items on the table. So I just want to thank you for your time and effort and everybody else here and the folks that are listening. So I'm very proud of our 3-0 record at the legislature, and I hope we make it 4-0 next time.
I would say the fire chief too, it's actually very impactful to have somebody who speaks to the cost that they need at a county Indeed. Level, makes that real to the higher offices, just because state level offices, I would say 98% of them have never seen a county commission meeting, let alone been a county commissioner. So Clay being able to bring that forward and actually personalize that is saying we need these costs, we're the only ones that have a gig factory. Why don't you listen to us? Actually, it made a lot of difference in having the direct words of the fire district come to the legislature and say public safety is public safety. It doesn't matter whether it's under your county shield or under a fire district shield, you need it regardless. So really having that personal touch made the difference. But yeah, it was an honor to work with you guys all year.
For sure.
Jay's comments.
For sure. Thank you.
For the record, that was Will Adler.
Will Adler, yes.
He does that at the legislature too.
Also, you know, I think what was the one goal that we had in this session here before any of this began, we're going back to August, September of the prior year.
Right.
We were talking about things being proactive, not, you know, waiting to see what's going to happen to us in February and then, you know, ooh, don't do it. Yeah. So, you know, that really comes to the members of our team. I mean, Julia, with the amount of stuff that she's brought to us in this county, with the billboards, the TV commercials. She's going to show you the commercial here at the next meeting when she does her quarterly update. All of the, just the nuances and the materials and the one-page education documents, things that people can look at and say, you know, I just put down and learn. And then everybody, a member of our team, has just provided, whether it's fiscal statements from Jennifer's office or otherwise. It's just been really everything proactive that is leading up to the year as well as throughout the year. Very proud of our team.
Indeed. Couldn't agree more. Is there any other discussion from the board up here?
And I have just one thing, you know, as we're talking about being proactive and thinking about working with GOAG going forward, I'm wondering if it makes sense for us to agendize something in the future about a default designation of our county manager as our point of contact for this kind of stuff and NDAs and all that, you know what I mean? So that there's no delay and no quest, you know what I mean? So that we're kind of ready to accept whatever comes our way. It might be something worth agendizing in the future.
Yep, that's a good idea. We're quick and nimble, so let's continue that.
Yeah.
No comments, Commissioner Gilman?
No.
All right, thank you. Thank you again, Will, Alex, Austin. I think that does it for item number 31. Item number 32 is discussion for possible action. It is the consideration and possible approval of business license second readings A through L. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman?
No.
Public comment? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed under item 32 as A through L.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 33 is the second and final time for public comment during this meeting. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any, it gives me great pleasure to be at item number 34, adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 12:10. This meeting is adjourned.